All right, welcome to Channel 9. This is the Data Exposed Show. I'm Scott Klein. I'm here with Sasha Nosov.
Yes, hi Scott, how are you doing?
Why don't you do a quick introduction about yourself?
Hello, my name is Sasha Nosov. I'm leading the project in Azure SQL Database to support business continuity for applications using databases.
Perfect, so thank you. So I appreciate you being on the show, right?
Yeah, of course.
So. A week or so ago, we had Tony Petrosian and I just drew a blank on his name.
Tobias
Turnstrom on the show.
Tobias.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah.
I just drew a blank on his name, right? And they talked about the new service tiers for SQL Database, right? And so there's what we're going to talk about today is the active geo-replication, right?
That is
true?
Correct. That is correct. In fact, yes, as part of the introduction of the new service tiers, we've released several features, and one of them is called Active Geo-Replication. Its main purpose is to protect applications that use the databases from regional or other widespread failures by providing the redundancy of the data outside of the region. So as a little bit of a background, I'd like to talk about how we deal with the local failures today. Maybe you know that in Azure SQL Database, we have local redundancy. So any database that the client accesses, the user accesses, has actually several local replicas.
Right, today, so you got your primary and your and your replicas.
Exactly,
right?
So this is the primary and this is where the app sort of talks to it. And as it talks and commits transactions, we replicate these transactions within the data center, making sure that any time anything happens, we have more than one, in fact, more than two, even more than three databases in sync so that we could fail over and redirect the application to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we know how to replicate the data, how to synchronize the data, and how to fail over under certain conditions. So we thought, okay, since we have that great technology, why don't we extend it and allow replication outside of the region? So now the application could rely on that redundancy in case the entire region, or maybe part of the region, part of the data center goes down. So what we've done is we essentially enable the replication of the primary here to a different region. And here we create another database, which also has its own local replicas for the same reason, because that data center also could have internal problems. But most importantly, that we synchronize transactions committed to the primary over here by the application over there, making sure that there is a parallel copy of that database elsewhere, and the application could then redirect in case this whole thing goes down.
All right, so just to clarify, right, so we've got our data center here, the application's talking to this, right?
Yes.
We replicated, today we have the replication to redundant copies in the same data center. Now we can replicate to a secondary data center. This, just for clarification, isn't quite a, it is or is not a primary?
It's primary to be in case you need to fail.
Right, so a future primary.
Yes. We actually call it active secondary.
Active secondary, okay. So that's good to know, active secondary.
Right. Active secondary, right.
So not quite a primary because the application is not talking to this until something happens to that.
Well, this is actually a very good point. In fact, as we replicate, the applications are actually allowed to talk to it, but only in read-only mode.
Yep, we're gonna, I was actually gonna get to that. So we have right now what's called readable secondaries.
Readable
right?
secondary, yep. And that's a great feature in its own right because you can do things like offloading some of the read-only traffic to that database, thus leveraging the fact that you're obviously paying for it.
Correct.
So you get more value just having a standby database in case something fails. You can use it in a very practical manner.
Reporting.
Reporting, analytics, all sorts of sort of background, bad jobs with some complicated analysis. If you do the same thing here, that means you're actually getting in the way of normal user traffic.
Yeah, your normal OLTP transactions
right, of course.
Here, right?
All OLTP transactions might get some performance impact, et cetera. You don't want that. Now, by offloading here, you actually make it much more balanced.
Right.
And the reason it works fine because the replication traffic represents only part of the overall traffic. Only the write traffic really gets replicated. Everything that is read-only here doesn't get impact. And that's the capacity that is available on the secondary is actually lower. I mean, the use of capacity is lower by just pure application traffic.
Because you don't have the high OLTP here.
Exactly. Therefore, you have more room to offload some of the read-only traffic without really impacting the replication here.
So you're increasing performance here, right? And offloading a lot of the load here for reporting and things
exactly
like that.
Exactly right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I can say through the portal, say when I, so this is a premium offering. Is that just
it
payment?
Is. This is a premium offering.
Okay.
And as we create that replica at the user request, because it's a self-service operation.
And the user can say, specify which data center
exactly
it goes into. So if I'm West US, I can say when I go and move to premium, I can say I want my active secondary in, you know, East US, South Central US, North Central US.
In fact, like anywhere in the world, we don't even restrict it to geography because it's a user decision. It's their explicit call where they want the data to be moved for redundancy purposes.
Yep.
Yeah, so yes, it's a great little flexibility.
Okay.
And by the way, you can create up to four of these.
I was just going to ask you that. How many of these active secondaries could you have?
Yeah.
Up to four, right?
I'm getting ahead of you.
No, this is perfect. So he's reading my mind. It's awesome. This is great.
Yeah.
Right.
So up to four. So for example, if you want to use one just for DR purposes and keep it as a DR copy, you can also create the second one. In fact, you create a second one in the same data center just for read-only traffic.
Okay.
If you want to separate the DR from balancing, you can do that. So you can have more than one, or you can have more than one DR copy in case the secondary data center is impacted. So you're losing your protection.
Yeah.
And if you have the second one elsewhere, you won't lose protection just because your secondary data center is impacted because you still have another one elsewhere.
Okay. So a follow-up question to that would be, we're calling these active secondaries, right? So they're, and we talked about making these so like reporting and read.
Yeah.
Are these active secondaries, because we are going to get asked, people are going to ask this question, are these read-write as well? Are these
No, and this is a good question, and I appreciate sometimes active sort of leads people to believe that this is writable. No, it is not. And the reason it's not writable is because if we were to allow writes to both sides
from the app,
yeah, from the app, then we would have to deal with the conflict resolution. They can step over sort of different sessions could step over each other, and it's actually quite a challenging issue in general. So we opted for it only because for the scenario that this focuses on, which is the disaster recovery and business continuity, read-only is exactly what is required. So when you decide as an application owner to really fail over, what happens is this relationship is terminated.
Okay.
And that database immediately becomes normal standalone database.
Okay.
So you can then start from the same app or a different instance of an app applying the normal workload to that copy of the database.
So and we can at another time talk about a termination and things like that, right?
Because
we're reading there's some kind of gotchas around working with termination and things like that, right?
One thing that I wanted to cover here, because this is an oftenly asked question, which is, hey, why don't you Microsoft take care of the failover, make it automatic and completely transparent to the app? Why do you want me, the application owner, to worry about any of this? And this is a fair question.
Sure.
It's a fair question. Well, the answer to that actually is fairly simple. The difference between this scenario where we do it all automatically and this is latency.
Yeah.
The latency between the data center causes us to use asynchronous replication. So when you commit a transaction, we don't wait for this transaction to travel all the way, ack the fact that it's been committed there, and then return to the user, because that would be a serious impact on the performance.
We don't want that, right? We wait till everything's committed here first, then start replicating.
So we do in parallel. We commit the transaction and immediately replicate, but still, if something happens, some amount of data will be lost. And that data loss is the reason, the real reason why we are allowing the application decide to fail over instead of us. Because when we fail over, we impact thousands of databases in that region, and some of them more tolerant to data loss than others.
Yeah.
So a lot of applications would say, you know what, I really don't want sort of the failover because my data is so important. I want you, Microsoft, to figure out what happened, recover, mm-hmm. and I'll wait. Some other, on the other hand, would say, you know what, I'm totally fine. I can deal with some number of transactions loss, but it's more important for me to have availability right away because I cannot stop my business.
So there's some level of granularity between, you know, how much data loss do I want, right?
Yeah.
And some of the responsibility goes back to you, you know, you, the user. You know, we don't want, you know, we'll take some of that responsibility, but most of it says, okay, at what level, how much data loss do you really want? And that's up to you, right?
Right. The user has sufficient visibility into the lag, into the sort of the transaction timestamp, and also we even provide the visibility into the connectivity state.
Yep.
For example, if one data center went down, clearly connectivity would be impacted. So the user will know that. But the bottom line is, if we were to do the automatic thing, we would have taken a long time to troubleshoot
right.
and figure out before we pull the plug. And some application would not want to wait for that long.
Okay.
So we really give it to the application, that decision, as a kind of a more empowering, more flexibility, and actually a better model to achieve a higher SLA from the application perspective than otherwise would have been possible if we were to do it automatically.
Yeah, perfect. So let's sort of wrap this up by talking, because I would love to have you back talk about more of this termination and things like that, go a little deeper. But let's sort of wrap up and talk about costs, right? Because this is going to be another big question people are going to have, right? Because every time we, from an Azure perspective, right, anytime I got data going from one, you know, egress is, data out is free, but now you got data going into another data center. So not, am I being charged for not only this replica, but the ingress as well? And kind of what am I being charged for?
Yeah, so the cost. Because we create essentially a parallel database, which is accessible by the app at all times,
mm-hmm.
we're charging for the performance level of that database.
Yep. Yeah, so obviously
that performance level has to be the same as the primary, because otherwise we could starve the primary. If this is weak, and we have a high transaction rate, this might not be able to absorb that traffic,
sure.
right? So the basically the cost doubles because of the two databases at the same performance level.
And most people would expect that, right?
Exactly. But the good news is we are not charging for traffic. It's all included.
Excellent.
No extra traffic charge, no matter how many transactions you commit, and therefore how many of them we have to replicate.
Yeah.
So the part of that sort of offer really
Excellent.
Is to not add the transaction traffic.
Yeah, and that's good because people are, you know what, I want that high availability. I want that
right.
you know, redundancy and
yeah.
you know, and the scalability, right? Because by offloading a lot of this, I get a better performance in both locations. I'm willing to pay for that.
Exactly.
Right. And
exactly.
so by not paying for the traffic and transaction charges, this is excellent.
Yeah, and,
right?
and by the way, there is a number of other scenarios this technology enables. We could spend a little bit more time next time
yep.
to talk about additional benefits of using ActiveGR applications, not just the DR, but other scenarios that
yeah.
is as important for the application. I'd be happy to cover that as well.
We would love that. We'd love to have you back. Sasha,
All
thank
right.
you so much. It's good to have you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, and
thank you.
We'll see you next time. Appreciate it.